Hello, you're listening to the Cinemaniacs for August 23rd, 2008. There's a stone cold bitch in the cheap seats, cracking my knees, okay, you grin fuck, you bunch of fucking monkeys, pretty pictures, say what your space in. Hi everybody, thanks for listening to the Cinemaniacs, the weekly podcast about movie news, reviews, and whatever else we choose. My name is Walt, and to my left is Jeff.
Yo.
To my right is my beautiful wife, Lisa.
Hey there.
And on this week's episode, we got a couple of bits of news, as usual. We're also going to be talking about Tropic Thunder and Star Wars Clone Wars, the new Star Wars movie in the theater.
All right. So what's happening in the world of entertainment news?
Despite what you said earlier, I'm going to talk about this guy. Because every year at the Oscars, they do that moratorium, what do they call it?
In memoriam.
In memoriam.
Well, which we seem to be doing weekly now.
Well, this way, when you go to watch the Oscars and you watch that in memoriam, people are going to say, who is this guy? And now you're going to know.
Does that mean we're going to be doing like all the grips and shit like that too?
Well, makeup artist Paul Starr has passed away.
Who?
Well, exactly. He's a behind-the-scenes guy that such actresses as Scarlett Johansson and Angelina Jolie, Jennifer Garner, rely on this guy. And now he's gone.
So they're all going to become uggos?
I don't know. But they're a beautiful woman, and now their makeup guy is gone.
Now, they have different types of makeup. Okay. So is he the guy that does their face makeup, or is he the guy that does, like, their booby makeup and their leg makeup and shit like that? You know, like, oh, your boobies will look better in this kind of glow. So he dusts them with the little bronzer stuff.
Little blush in the cleavage.
Yeah.
That type of thing?
Yeah.
I want to be that kind of makeup artist.
I bet you do.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Now, as far as makeup goes, his credits, the biggest thing that I know him from is doing Four Rooms, which is a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Right.
But he actually did the Madonna part.
Oh, so. I love Banderas in that movie. Don't misbehave. I love that.
Yeah,
that was good. It was very good.
But
so, sorry to see him go, and a lot of female actresses are even sorrier to see him go.
Yeah. Sounds like you had a fun job.
That's all right with me, because there's going to be a whole lot of regular-looking bitches in the world now.
Nice.
Christina Applegate, recovering from breast cancer.
Yeah. Oof.
That's devastating.
Double mastectomy, right?
The doctors say she's all clear.
That's awesome.
So she got to go back like next year for a checkup type of thing, but she's okay.
Cool. She had a double?
Double mastectomy.
Wow. Mm. Courage, girl.
Yeah.
Courage. I think her mom, didn't her mom have breast cancer?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what made her go in to get checked.
That was during Married with Children when she was on that show.
Is that right?
Yeah.
God, yeah, that was a long time ago. I've been a fan of hers forever. I mean, she was always ridiculously funny in that.
Right.
That's a great
girl. In Married with Children, of course, but the movies, she always does great in the movies.
But that's what I'm saying. It's obvious that, you know, how funny she is, because she was still able to go off and do other things and still be very hilarious.
And smart.
And very smart.
Yeah.
You know what I love is I've seen her in interviews, and, you know, it's not like some of those people where they get those roles and then they just want a TV role, and then they kind of want to deny it. She fully owns it and is actually grateful for it, you know.
Right.
Bunny Married with Children, you know.
Well, yeah.
Which is awesome, you know.
It is awesome, and she still gets a check from that. And
she's still, it's not like she's sitting there downplaying or even, like, bitching about it, like what's her name Ginger used to do.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Tina Louise.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. How shitty is that?
Yeah. Mad because you played a ditzy character.
Most people go through the world never being known. She gets known, you know, to even be known for one thing, and she has to bitch about it.
Right.
That's awful, you know.
Maybe that's why Applegate's got more roles than Ginger has.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
You know? Exactly. She's, you know. So yeah, cool. More power to a very cool chick. Hope she, you know, she recovers fully and gets back to work.
Yeah, get better soon.
She's awesome.
As many of our listeners know, I used to own and operate a comic book store here in Las Vegas many, many years ago. But one of the big books before and to this day was called The Watchmen. And now you're seeing trailers out in the movie theaters for this movie, and that they've got for the comic book, of course. Directed by Zack Snyder, who did the 300 movie very well.
Yeah,
very good adaptation.
Yeah.
That's great.
But now there's some confusion over who owns the rights to that movie, because it's been close to 20 years that they've been trying to make this movie.
Right.
And so different movie studios are fighting over it now. So we'll see what happens if it delays the movie coming out.
Mm.
The most celebrated graphic novel of our time.
That's what it said in the trailer. Yeah,
yeah, really is.
I did pick it up this past week because for whatever reason, I've never read the thing.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
That's pretty funny.
It's like going to
that's
a 7-Eleven.
That's a good confession, you know?
Yeah. It's like going to 7-Eleven and never drinking a Slurpee.
What are these Slurpees like? No idea. Oh, you better have 20 years.
That's pretty
it's a cold
bad.
Beverage.
And speaking of movies that are delayed, the next Harry Potter movie, The Half-Blood Prince, that's been delayed. Well, that's a big deal.
What's the deal with that?
That's a... Well, Warner Brothers' president says it's due to the writer's strike delaying it. So where I always talked about the writer's strike not having affected me, not that this really affects me, but it's postponed some movies. But on a different note, even though Harry Potter's delayed from Thanksgiving this year
to summer.
Summer of next year, which will probably make more money next year anyways,
right.
Twilight has been bumped from December to November.
Oh, it took its spot, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
Ah. I mean, there's a lot of juggling around. James Bond has been moved
Everything's been moved up then.
Yeah, because Harry Potter was going to take over Thanksgiving and probably a couple weeks after that, and now it's wide open. So Twilight, which is based on a series of novels about vampires and werewolves.
Stephanie Meyer,
that's right. Our 12-year-old daughter is a big fan of them.
Has a huge teenage, young adult following.
Yeah. So now that movie... If it wasn't going to be successful before, now it's just going to be huge.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's unfortunate about Harry Potter. Wow.
I think the world will survive. I don't think there'll be anarchy in the streets anytime
soon. Oh, no, you never seen the Muggles.
Well, fans are online petitioning and doing all their crazy stuff. Why, I don't know.
Muggle riot.
They didn't cancel it. They just delayed it.
Right.
So. And actually, I think there's a lot of overlap. For the Twilight movie, you know, kids that read books and stuff.
Yeah.
So, and in fact, yeah, David Yates is the same guy who did the last one, is directing this one as well. And apparently they have him lined up to direct the next two also.
Right.
Yeah, because they're splitting up that seventh book.
Yeah.
Well, I saw this most recent one. I liked it.
Yeah. So. Only number two was I disappointed with. All the rest of them were great.
They're fine. I mean, I didn't really have a problem with any of them. You get the purists and everything, and they'll have problems. Everybody will have problems with whatever episode that they, you know. And it's like, I really don't care. I mean, they're fun movies to watch. You know?
Yeah.
Having never read the books, I don't get disappointed in how they compare, like you were saying. Just number two was not a five-star movie like one and three, where three was so fantastic.
No, they're all four-star movies to me.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah,
good
movies to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm looking forward to...
I have the biggest respect for J.K. Rowling and that whole thing just because getting kids reading again. Like
oh,
that.
Hell yeah. Get them all excited.
That's what I mean. She should not only be a billionaire, she should get like the Nobel Prize and all that stuff. Getting people out there reading again, you know, that's just good.
That's inspirational.
Absolutely.
I like to see how the characters have all grown. I'm looking forward to this next movie because it's interesting to see them mature.
Yeah. I like to read and everything like that. My thing is, when it comes to books and movies, if movies based on a successful book, if I haven't read it or whatever, I'll go see the movie and then I'll go read the book. And because if I read the book first and then try and see the movie, obviously they can't get an entire book into a movie. It's just not possible. And so there's things are going to be left out, and there's always going to be disappointment. If I see the movie first, I've seen one interpretation of it, I have a really good time. Then I read the book, you know, see this longer, expanded story arc with more things going on, and it's almost like an extended ultimate director's cut.
That's true.
I agree with you 100%.
It's a lot of fun that way.
Books are always better than the movies.
Sure.
And the number one reason why, because I spent a lot of time thinking about it, why is that the case? And there is because when you read a book, you're the director. You're creating everything visually and putting the characters in. When I read a story, somehow myself is one of the characters in the book. Why, I don't know, but it just seems to personify one of the people. So that's my vision of the story that I'm reading. But when you watch a movie, when you have this whole idea of how the story goes, and then you watch the movie, and it's different, then it takes away from some of it.
Sure, you lose a little some. It could still be really great, but...
Right.
Yeah.
So what you said is exactly true. Watch the movie and go back and read the book, and then it's like, wow, this is so much into it.
You've got a second, more in detail telling of this story. It's wonderful.
My primary example of that is when I was a kid, you know, we saw Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, and you read the book and you see, wow, the Jabba the Hutt is in Star Wars.
Yeah.
And you didn't see him until Return of the Jedi in the movies.
Yeah.
And
I got to tell you, though, I actually agree. I read somewhere online that putting Jabba the Hutt back in the first one kind of diminishes his introduction in the third.
Oh, because he doesn't seem as much of a badass?
Yeah, because he's, you know, Han Solo's walking all over him and kind of talking back to him, talking smack, whereas in Jedi, man, he's just, you know, badass. You know, he's evil. You know, it's obvious he runs the show, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of, and
I do recommend people watch 4, 5, 6, then 1, 2, 3, but in 3, they have him again, right? Jabba the Hutt?
No, they had him in 1.
Oh, and 1.
Yeah. He was starting the pod race.
Yeah. Because he was a big king. Jabba was like leader of this.
He was the kingpin. He was the
Star Wars Clone Wars that we're talking about today. Yeah. That's where I saw him. They have him in that.
Well, yeah.
And he's a badass in that.
Okay.
And he is. And so that's like Star Wars 2.5.
Well, what I'm saying,
if you watch him in order, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, yeah.
But, you know, yeah, it's, like I said, I just read that his introduction actually, it gets diminished by having him in the first one, and I kind of agree with that a lot, actually.
Hmm.
So, would you say they pushed Harry Potter back because of marketing, or is that because of the Batman movie?
Well, the Batman movie is huge. It's the second biggest movie of all time, right, money-making movie, absolutely. Right? So, what you're saying is that they've made so much money off of Batman that they postpone it to next year, so they would have a big year next year also?
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah. Don't this year, that movie would probably make more in a summer run, you know?
Yes, yeah, that's without a doubt.
More kids out of school, more, you know.
Oh, that's true.
You know, think about it.
Yeah. This year, we've had no less than 6 comic book movies, and most of them have been big hits.
Yeah.
Next year, last I checked, there's only 2 lined up. So, and I'm just saying comic book movies bring in the fans or make money or anything like that. But
that's what I'm saying. I mean, also,
biggest movie of all time now, and big openings, you know, the Spider-Man movies have had. Iron Man was huge.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
They don't have those big tentpole films. Wolverine is one of them, and Watchmen, which we've already talked about.
Yeah. So, I think it's more of a business choice.
Okay.
Than the writer's strike.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie's damn near done.
Because it's already, pre-written material, pretty much.
Yeah, give me a break. So, yeah. Once again, no effect on my life, really.
Well, last week came out, we saw it this weekend, was Tropic Thunder, the latest Ben Stiller movie, directed and written by, starring Ben Stiller, Jack Black, Robert Downey Jr.
Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte's in there. Danny McBride, who we talked about last week from Pineapple Express, he's in this movie also.
Oh, wow.
And Sexy Jesus.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Kevin Corrigan?
Yeah.
Sexy Jesus. The guy from Hamlet 2, right?
Yeah. Rock me, Sexy Jesus. Very catchy.
So here we have these actors. They play actors in the movie as well. Ben Stiller, Jack Black, Robert Downey Jr. starring in a movie directed by Kevin Corrigan. About Nick Nolte's character back in Vietnam War. What can I say about this movie? Better than Pineapple Express.
Ouch.
Yeah, it was. It was better than Pineapple Express. I liked this movie. I thought it was fun.
Now, they've downplayed this a lot to the point that they don't mention it, but if you read online or you listen to the Cinemaniacs, I mentioned it back in March or something like that, that Tom Cruise is also in this movie. Steals the show. Tom Cruise is so hilariously funny. And let me tell you about this Tom Cruise guy. Those of you that don't know this guy. Tom Cruise, huge movie star, right? Action movies and what political thrillers. I don't know what Tom Cruise does different movies. But Tom Cruise does not do comedies. Jerry Maguire, you might say, is romantic comedy. Risky Business, you might say, is a comedy, right? That's it.
What about that movie Legend? Wasn't that a comedy?
Well, it was funny, but I don't think it meant
Tom Cruise is hilarious, and I don't know why he doesn't do comedies. Well, good-looking guy. He should be like George Clooney big as far as movies go. You know, I mean, he is a huge movie star, but right. I'm saying that he could do comedies. And he's a good-looking guy. He could do romantic comedies. You know, Matthew McConaughey is in here. Who knows how to do comedy, right? He's done several. And I'm just
maybe this will
blown away with Tom Cruise in this movie.
Well, maybe this will give him the idea to go out and, you know, expand his horizons a little.
I hope so.
A little slapstick.
I hope so.
Yeah,
he's pretty funny.
Is he?
It was good.
That's cool.
He delivered.
That's what I'm hearing.
But to be
Everything I'm hearing is him and Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, that's what
everybody
talks
about Robert Downey Jr. You were going to say?
I thought he was great.
He plays, you know, a white actor, white Australian actor playing black character, black guy, and he's got the black face and stuff.
Altered.
Right. Yeah. I didn't get it. It didn't seem funny to me at all.
He was doing a spoof on the over-the-top award-winning, overachieving actor. And that was brilliant. He did a great job.
Yeah. He acted just like a black guy and all. It was fine. But
he'd be like where you transfer Charlize Theron into a monster. Right. You know?
Yeah.
It was funny. It was great. I liked it. I thought it was fun. It was cool because very much so like when we were watching Pineapple Express, where it's a stoner action movie, this had a lot of action in it.
Right.
And it was like these actors just bumbling through this, what they thought was an action movie, and then they realize it's real shit.
Right.
And I don't know. It was pretty good. I thought it was great.
It was all right. It wasn't funny. I mean, it's tied, take Tom Cruise out of there, and it's not really anything funny else about this movie.
Wow.
Yeah, my opinion. Mm-hmm. It was silly in some parts, so maybe that's supposed to be funny. I don't know. It was, like I said, better than Pineapple Express, but still very disappointing. And this is another one that they talk about big comedy and whatever. Nah. No.
Yeah. No. No. If you're curious and you really want to see it in a theater, hey, great, go ahead. But
to waste your money.
Yeah. DVD. DVD.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or Blu-ray.
And that Danny McBride character we talked about last week was on Pineapple Express. He's in this movie too, playing a sub character and Landon Lost next year. Which, by the way, they have a picture out. I mean, I know we've seen it, but letting our listeners know that there's a picture out with Will Ferrell and a Sleestak, supposedly from the movie. You know, a stand-up shot. And I have to say, the Sleestak looks pretty good. I was reading some things about it, and they said that Sid and Marty Krofft, who created the original show, were on the set for Land of the Lost the whole time. So hopefully they do well with it, and it's not just too campy silly. But
we'll have to see. I mean, it does have Will Ferrell, which actually for me is a plus. I mean, I love Will Ferrell. So.
Yeah. But Tropic Thunder, you say as far as Ben Stiller goes, I'm waiting for Night of the Museum 2.
Yeah, he's working on it.
I know. No, I know. It's coming out this Christmas, but was disappointing.
That reminds me of the whole Will Ferrell Land of the Lost thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's playing Marshall, obviously, right?
Right.
Well, in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, he had a part as the game warden, and his name was Marshall Willenholly.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, Marshall Willenholly.
That's right.
Yep.
So, Willenholly.
So
how things come full circle. Right. Went from playing Marshall Willenholly to Marshall with Willenholly.
Yep.
Cool.
He's a park ranger in this one.
Okay.
So. So Tropic Thunder, yeah, 3 stars.
I'd give it a strong 3.
Well, maybe. 3 means you liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. Once again, that's Walt being overly critical and then going, yeah, I liked it.
Well, again, if I give Pineapple Express 2 stars, and this one's better, it's got to be 3 stars, right?
Okay. Yeah, it was fun.
It had a story to it, however boring it was.
Okay.
It did have one.
All right.
But it's Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise brings
Tom Cruise? Oh,
if this movie, instead of Ben Stiller, had Tom Cruise in it, sky's the limit.
Okay.
He was great. Matthew McConaughey, I don't even know what he was trying to do there. He's playing some agent. He's
it
silly.
It was cool. Go see it. It was cool.
Yeah. And stay through the credits to watch Tom Cruise.
Because
he's great.
Yeah.
Cool.
And
all right. So I'm
and
I'm,
don't be late, or if you're don't go to the theater to see it. But when you're watching on DVD, there's no credits in the beginning. There's part of the movie, and it's classic. That's great.
Okay.
In the beginning of the movie. Right. Remember that?
Yeah, I agree.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm imagining this next one wasn't a date night movie. This was one for the children.
Star Wars Clone Wars?
Yeah.
It could have been a date night movie. It's a new Star Wars movie. We haven't had a Star Wars movie in years.
That,
oh, she's shaking
that
her
could
head.
Not have been a date night movie. I don't know who you're dating.
Uh-oh.
Would other Star Wars movies be a date movie?
Possibly.
No, possibly. Okay, well, then Star Wars are not date movies. But
let's see. It could be like maybe 3 months into a date. You know, say you're dating. And, yeah, go to a Star Wars movie. But
Star Wars Clone Wars. George Lucas pulled the guy that did Avatar The Last Airbender, which M. Night Shyamalan was attached to for a minute, and now they're doing, and he may still do it, like an anime thing. They pulled that director to do this Star Wars Clone Wars, which is an animated Star Wars thing. Now, Cartoon Network did some animated Star Wars things a few years back.
Yeah,
Clone Wars.
Yeah,
they
those were pretty
one
good.
One and two. They were very good.
Yeah,
were
awesome.
Just
a little mini,
just
mini
right.
shows.
Yeah,
right.
A little mini thing. Mini things.
This one was computer animation, where that was, you know, like a drawn animation.
Yeah.
And this, but captured all of Star Wars excitement, adventure. It was fantastic. It was great. I really liked this a lot.
I did not. It was very painful to watch. I'm happy I had some popcorn.
Okay.
This was more of the same. It was an attempt of marketing. It's just more of the same bullshit. And you know what got me was the girl character, okay? You have to market toward girls. Listen up, everybody who wants to make action figures and all that bullshit. You know, Lego Star Wars and all that. You guys don't put out enough things for girls. I have a 13-year-old kid that wants to buy some kind of Lego thingy, you know, but it's hard to find stuff for girls. Anyway,
that's why when you see these action figures, the Princess Leia, the Queen Amidala, those are always the rarest ones because they don't make a lot of them.
You have to
for
snatch
girls.
Them up when you see them. So I found that character very annoying, whoever did the voice, and just that character was just annoying. And it was painful. It was painful. The dialogue in it, some of it was painful. It wasn't very well written. It's just a marketing ploy for you.
Well, I hear it's just an hour and a half money. Long commercial for the TV show that's coming
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Blech. So, anyway, if you have a kid that is somewhere between 5 and 12 and they are a Star Wars fan, sure. Buy a DVD for them or, you know, take them to the movie. Take your iPod with you and listen to your iPod while you're watching a movie or something. I don't know.
Drop them off, go to another movie?
I totally disagree. This was better than Phantom Menace. I mean, this was a
what?
Great Star Wars movie. Sure it was. This was just through and through. I mean, it was Star Wars. You get, listen, we were talking about reading books before. We saw Revenge of the Sith, right? The best of the new three Star Wars movies.
Oh, yeah, hands
okay?
down.
Okay. Well, I picked up the book for the kids to read, you know, got it at the library or whatever, and I started reading it myself. And, in fact, I think we even listened to the audio CD for a minute.
Okay.
And it talks about the beginning where Anakin and Obi-Wan are flying through, you know, and they're heroes in their day. Now, this is Star Wars 3, and 2 was the Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
So in the middle, they have the Clone Wars. So
sure.
I guess we should let that note, everybody.
Right.
They have the Clone Wars. There are Attack of the Clones. So then you have the Clone Wars, and then by Episode 3, the Clone Wars are kind of finished off. And,
yeah, they're coming to an end.
Right.
Yeah.
The humans have won against the droids. So here, they're still fighting the droids. Revenge of the Sith, the beginning of the book, is talking about how they've won so many battles, and they're Jedis, and they're held, and people look up to them, and little kids, they want to grow up to be like Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Right.
You know, they're these great figures. That the book expanded on the Revenge of the Sith movie.
Okay.
So here, the Clone Wars are showing those battles.
Right.
Okay? And here you have Anakin is sent with his Padawan, his student, this girl, to go rescue Jabba the Hutt's son, who's been kidnapped.
Right.
Okay? And so that's what I was saying. Jabba the Hutt, you see Jabba, and Jabba is, you know, super bad guy, and the Jedis want him on their side because he controls the trades routes.
Sure.
You know? And then the Republic wants him on their side, So they're trying to make it, well, they trying to make it so that they hate the Jedis. You know, it's all a scheme by the Republic that is the Emperor. You know, Emperor Palpatine's behind all the bad stuff going on. I don't know how that guy keeps everything straight, to be honest with him. And besides all his superpowers, he's got, like, super mind. It's like, okay, today we're going to ruin the Jedis. And just, I don't know.
More but then, of the same.
That's what Star Wars is about.
You know, this is one of the... I'll tell you, I do love Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a crush on Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan is like the supreme Jedi.
Yeah, I love that guy. That guy is all heart. Ah, Obi-Wan. So, but here's another one of the hokey things I want to tell you about with that movie is there's a part in the movie, and I don't want to give it away because I'll get a black eye across the table. There is this character who has one of the worst accents. They stick this like southern drawl fancy boy like a Midnight of the Garden of Good and Evil.
Oh Lord, really?
You know? Yeah. Accent on this perpetual, I don't want to say bad guy, but Jabba's uncle.
Right.
That so did not fit. That was so messed up. It was H.R. Puffin stuff fucking talking. That's what that shit was.
That's true.
H.R. Puffin stuff. That's all I could think about.
They slipped H.R. Puffin stuff into that movie?
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's brutal.
Well, H.R. Puffin stuff is a great character. I loved H.R. Puffin stuff.
I understand, Emperor, and I took care of Jabba's son.
It was H.R. Puffin stuff.
Oh, wow, that's brutal.
Yeah. Take her down to the dungeon.
Well, see, the thing is that...
Bad, dude. I'm telling you, bad.
He is not a mob boss like Jabba the Hutt is. You know,
he's a fancy lady.
Of the Hutts, right. He's like on the outcast. So.
Yeah.
So, look, there was some dialogue in there. I give you that was childish or kind of silly. You might see it on a Saturday morning cartoon if they still had Saturday morning cartoons.
They are setting this up to be some kind of a cartoon.
Okay, here you go.
And this is going to be a weekly show.
Yeah, but it's going to be prime time. It's not going to be a kids show.
Jesus.
And maybe that's why this movie, from the numbers that I've seen so far, is not like the big, giant summer blockbuster because people see it animated and people are against animation. I don't know, but this is a Star Wars movie.
Movies do big money.
Well, this one probably finished the week with $40 million, which is kind of low. It's a huge amount. Low for a Star Wars movie.
That's low for an animated feature.
It's all about marketing.
I think the Pixar movies do about $60 million their weekend, opening weekend.
Mr. Lucas, aren't you rich enough? I mean, come on. This is...
That is what I've been reading up until now, is that George is really grinding this thing into the dirt here.
This is another Star Wars story. I don't know what people are talking about.
That's what I'm hearing. I mean,
I love Star Wars, and this is another Star Wars story. I mean,
well, it could have been done differently. Let's
put it
that
way. Differently. Phantom Menace could have been done differently. But
true.
Look, how old were we when Star Wars came out? 7 years old, okay? Return of the Jedi, we're 14. So 7 to 14 years old, they made movies for us. Now they're making movies for 7 to 14-year-old of today. And our kids, age 8, 10, and 12, love this movie. So, hey, kudos to him. He's doing it right. You know, and that's what I said about Phantom Menace, which I'm not a big, huge fan of, but that Jar Jar Binks character, the kids loved, you know? They brought a whole new generation into the Star Wars films based on those. Our kids love the first three movies, 1, 2, 3. We love 4, 5, and 6. Well, even 3, 4, 5. Let's go that way. 6 is all right. It was good.
You know that little bit of Robot Chicken where he's in bed with Annie, the Jar Jar Binks?
Oh,
look at me, Annie. I'm all sparkly and glowy.
Yeah,
we like to run around the house saying that. I'm all sparkly and glowy. It's funny.
Yeah, they got Ahmed Best for that, too.
That's too funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
Who's Ahmed Best?
Guy that played Jar Jar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, I actually like the first one. I mean, obviously, it's the weakest of all of them, but, you know, I came out of there going, you know what? It was still Star Wars.
Right. And that's what this is. That's my point.
So, you know, and I understand that.
Okay.
I mean, I have no opinions about this. I haven't seen it.
Well, you know what? You're going to go see it then.
I'll see it when it comes out on DVD. I know I will. I'll rent it.
Okay.
Definitely.
But if you get out to the theater, see it. That's good, too.
Hey,
over the last couple of weeks, with Pineapple Express and Tropic Thunder being the big movies, Clone Wars beats them both.
See, that's the thing.
Four stars.
I would see either of those before I would go see Star Wars.
Well, you would be disappointed.
Okay. Four stars. How about you? Like, I have to guess.
I'll give it a 2 because I have a crush on Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan is cool. And of course, besides those characters, it still has R2-D2 and C-3PO in there. So they're great. R2-D2 is my hero.
There you go.
Hey, Arthur and the Invisibles. It's
that bad?
Arthur and the Invisibles.
Not that bad.
Arthur and the Invisibles, Luc Besson movie, came out a year or two ago. A movie that the kids and I loved and Lisa did not. And
loathed is more like it.
I hate that movie.
But we loved it. And it had a lot of the Star Wars feel to it. You know, this guy's riding bugs and flying around. You know, and you remember Stargate? Stargate, when those ships started flying across, and it's like, wow, that's like Star Wars. That's how Arthur the Invisible was. And this is Star Wars.
It was better than that, yeah. Yeah, so that is a good thing.
All right.
So everybody, thank you for listening. The Cinemaniacs, you can get more at our website, thecinemaniacs.com. And email us, podcast@thecinemaniacs.com. In fact, we need to start reading more of these emails on the air. We haven't done that in a couple of weeks.
Sure.
So email us. Oh, and up on the website, we have a new poll going. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. Go to the website and read it and vote.
There you go.
It'll give you incentive to go there. Oh, and if you head over to podcastalley.com, that's a website that has lists a lot of podcasts, including our own. And if you vote for us there, that moves us up in the rankings, which gives us more listeners and makes a better show for you.
It sure does.
So with that, have a good night.
Later.
Bye. Yeah.